Good morning to everybody. I have a little bit of jet lag, so I hope you'll bear with me if I'm a little slow here and there. That's my excuse. I have malaria too, so it covers everything, plus advanced age. But I'm glad to be here with all of you. I just love sharing with the saints, and my goal is to encourage you with my faith and be encouraged by your faith. Romans 1:11. Faith is where it's at. On our side of the ledger, God's power and spirits on his side of the ledger, the two meet, and you have a lot of good things happen. So today, faith can be built in us. It's going to be a great advantage. And that's what we're seeking, isn't it? Great advantage to serve the Lord in a way that is beneficial, productive, and brings glory to him. Where it's about him, not us. It is about us in another way. So I'm really glad that Sherry and I could get over here to the States. Pretty long trip. God opened the doors, and we're going to be at the camp, so we'll see you again then. I'm not very good at introductory statements, so we can get right down to it. When I was a young man, I used to have the privilege of doing roofing. I was invited to do that by my brother Tim in Bible college over in Eastern North Carolina. And I thought I was a tough guy. I ran and I did stuff. And the first day on the job was I carried bundles up the ladder. I found out I wasn't as tough as I thought I was. My legs became like jello and I had to sit down. Later on I could carry two bundles on one shoulder, but that was quite a long time later. And, you know, in roofing, putting the roof on was kind of the fun part because you got to see your progress and then you got your paycheck. The part we hated was, cleanup. We had to clean up. You know, little old ladies with the rose bushes, you left one nail there, she'd call up the boss. We had to come back with a magnet and find it. Yeah, some of you know about that. And the other thing, though, I hated was tearing off old roofs sometimes. Because, you know, people put three layers on there, you know, and you had to get them off. You had to rip them all off and then put new plywood on. That rip-off job was about as hard a work as I've ever done. But it had to be done. No new roof could go on top, you know, until you ripped off the old stuff. And when you're up there in 35 degrees, I mean, North Carolina's not as cold as here, but that, you know, it's kind of fun. And, of course, we get the hot weather there, 95 degrees, and it's really fun then. But, you know, God uses life experiences because today I want to talk about being an iconoclast. Iconoclast, that's someone who breaks idols. And Josiah was an iconoclast. Today I have a two-parter. First part is breaking things up, tearing things up, ripping things out. And the other part will be building, which part we all like the edification building thing more in some ways. But we can't build a new creation on top of a bad foundation. This is what some people don't get. You can't just kind of get in the water, come out of the water, you're wet now, and towel off, and go to work the next day. And in some ways it is. We do believe that when a person is baptized, he becomes born again. He becomes a new person by miracle. And you can't add to that miracle. That's a works mentality. I mean, in other words, you can't make yourself better than God makes you in Christ. Amen? The new resurrected spirit comes out of the water of baptism is perfect. And if you ever try to make it perfect on your own, you're back to works. What we work on, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, is our habits, our attitudes, our actions to be conformed with our new identity that we already have in Christ. We are light in the Lord. Amen? We become light by miracle, not by anything we've done, anything. And if you're still working on being perfect, you are in a works mentality and you'll not make it. And that's a trap. The devil has a lot of traps. In Africa, we have these little ant eaters, they call it. And they build a little trap of fine grain dirt and an ant comes along and gets over the edge of that and falls in. Do you have them here in Montana? I did see one somewhere back east. They fall in there, yeah, in Wisconsin. And that ant falls in there. He falls into the hole. He can't get out. And that ant eater pulls him in there and eats him. Satan has many traps for people who are unwary. Christianity is not for the simple-minded. The simple shall not wander therein, says the King James Version, Isaiah. The highway of holiness, it takes some discernment, it takes growth, it takes maturity, it takes wisdom, and we need that in abundance. So when we try to do mission work, and we do not have a plan to bulldoze, blast, you know, Hulk, smash! I like Hulk. You know, if we don't have that plan to rip and tear out the weeds of the old self in each of us, each person, each convert, if we don't have a plan to help them do like Paul says, no longer I who lives, well, what happened to the old guy? It had to be smashed, eradicated. Any of you ever do any bug eradication? Sherry is an expert at that. The house that we now live in for the last 5 years was built on top of a swamp. A pocosin, we'd call it back in the south. It's like a little bowl, and all the water goes in there. And so it's fertile ground for frogs. When we first got there were so many bullfrogs, Sherry killed them all. She and Jackson helped. You know, because at night, African frogs go, and there's about 100 of them, and you can't sleep. And they're little, and we had to fill in this big place in front of our house, and we put a lot of rubble in there and rocks, and they're gone. They're extinct. They've gone extinct. I haven't seen one in years. Then we had the cockroaches. We had the big old cockroaches and the Chinese cockroaches. Chinese cockroaches are little guys that get in your cupboards and they get in the woodwork, and we couldn't get rid of those till we ripped out all the old cupboards and put some new ones in. We also had ticks and bed bugs. By the way, if you want to visit us, we got rid of them all, every one of them. Till the next round. We also had, we have red ants. They're okay. They just come through and they kind of walk all over us while we're watching a show or doing family night. And they don't bite in the house. Only outside in their territory. Inside they're like sneaking around like Pink Panther. But we have the red ants. We have that. We had, the rats. If any of you have a Facebook friend, you might have seen that big rat that we just got. Our dog killed. And they were in the roof running around like squirrels. And then you hear boom, boom, boom. Now we have crows. Two of them built a nest. And I've been shooting them with my slingshot and they laugh at me. Found out they had babies up there. They were buzzing my head. Going up in and out of the yard. We have a lot of critters. And Sherry is mice. Oh, yeah, mice. See, if you try to live in that, you're going to get Marburg virus or Ebola virus or something, because those rodents carry terrible diseases. You can't just give people the positive. When Josiah, according to Scripture, 2 Kings 22, was 8 years old, he inherited the kingdom. I'm sure that he wasn't actually sitting on the throne until about 16. And 16, he began to seek the Lord. And at 20, it says, he began his work of destroying idols, smashing them, going to the high places, the bama in Hebrew, the high places where there's the oak trees and the little altars there. And they fornicated up there, like modern Americans going to a rock concert. You know, they got drunk and they worshiped Baal. Beelzebub, the word Baal just means Lord. Beelzebub's Lord of the Flies, fertility gods. And they were fun. Those things are fun. We're not going to get drunk in here today, get high, you know, grab another person, go around the back room. You know, when I was about 16, I quit going to parties in Africa. I was a missionary kid because I'd see these couples going off in the bushes. And I didn't want to do that. And I saw them, instead of drinking Coke, they were drinking something else. And see, that's what's happening. They were attractive. It's fun to serve the devil. He makes it as fun as possible. Make it plain. We have an opioid addiction plague hitting America. My home state of Ohio, 44,000 victims. The morgue's full of bodies. Why? People can't handle the pain, so Satan says, take this pill. It's legal even. And he says, you know, smoke this joint, drink this beer, and you'll take the edge off. Everything will be cool. You'll feel fine. Don't have to deal with the problem you're facing. You don't have to deal with yourself. See, Satan has a lot of false alternatives for the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians says. Do not be filled with wine. And you can drink if you want to. You can make your justification that it's not, Bible prohibits it, blah, blah. But I'll tell you what. It has trapped a whole bunch of people in a trap they can't get out of. And for me in my house, I'm going to stay sober because you know what? I'm a soldier. And I'm always on duty. And if one of my grandkids is hurt or someone wants me to baptize them at 11 o'clock at night, I can't say, hey, a couple buds, call me in the morning. I'm going to be sober. I'm on duty. See, Satan will say, try this, try this, try this. You don't need to be sharp as a tack and filled with the Spirit. Spirit's not enough. You need something else. And so, everywhere we go, there's all satanic alternatives, satanic worship to replace worship in spirit, worship in truth, living a spiritually enlightened life, a higher life, extraordinary life. And these alternatives, first and foremost, we should never ask the question, why can't I? The question should be, why should I? And what can I do that's the best? How can I max out for Jesus? How can I be at maximum efficiency for the Lord so I can win as many souls as possible, be as healthy as possible for the Lord? I'm 57, and if I don't stay healthy, I won't be able to take my great-grandkids on hikes and talk to them about Jesus. I'll be sitting in a chair with high blood pressure, dying. There's reasons to do things positively, and the alternative Satan gives sucks the life out of us. Offering pleasure, offering temporary relief, offering a false life. We heard about fake news. We have fake lives, and we have true lives for Christ. The true life in Christ goes from glory to glory. It's an abundant life. But we can't build that abundant new life on top of the rubble. The rubble has to be cleared out. So Josiah brought in a great revival, tremendous revival. He was a king that was of the highest caliber. He was really a man after David's own heart. Him and Hezekiah were two of the best. And they brought back the Passover in a way that had not been done for so long, as most of you here would know. And there was great joy in the land while he was alive. Fortunately, Josiah joined the Egyptians in a foolish war against Babylon and got himself killed. But while he was ruling, he was extraordinary. But he had to do this business of smashing the idols. I can just see him as an 8-year-old boy, you know. His dad, his grandpa, you know, he didn't. Some people make excuses, you know, about their family. My family was bad, and I can't be a good person because my family went over this and that, and kind of psychoanalyze himself. Josiah just went for it. He made a personal decision. Personal decision to be better than his dad. You want to read about his dad? Just read back in chapter 21 of 2 Kings. He was a one-man revolution. And when he got the power and authority, he used it to clear out all that nasty idol worship. You know, you can get online and Google Samaria and see they've dug up the idols that were there at the gate. When you came into Samaria gate, there were idols everywhere, so you could give a little, you know, maybe all of them, one of them for safe travel, and give a little offering to the priest there. Recently, in Ghana, we took our kids to Cape Coast Castle, slave castle down the coast. And the Portuguese got to Ghana Christopher Columbus visited Ghana before he came to America. Portuguese brought Catholicism. After them came the Dutch, and they brought the Reformed Church. And so they have their chapels in those slave castles and all, but down below in the one slave castle, Cape Coast, which was the English capital for quite a few years, there's huge rocks down there that they worship to this day. And all the chiefs of that village, here's, you know, this modern era, go down there once a year to offer offerings to the chief. And there's a juju man, a voodoo witch doctor down there. So we took our kids down there, and they're like, because they're, you know, our kids are raised to love the Lord and know the Lord. We took the school kids and some of our grandkids. And then real close to there, we took the kids down to the beach, and there's this guy about my age in his underwear, and he's digging the sand up, and he's finding gold. Ghana used to be called the Gold Coast. So he goes down about 2 feet to the black sand, and he pans it right there in front of us, and there's gold in the pan. Pretty cool. And then he went and drank it all off. Up. But right there, where the sand, the beach was, there was a little stream bed. And in the stream bed's like a valley going up into the rocky hills. And it's just full of brush. You can tell no one's going in there to do any mining of any kind. Well, that's where you get the gold in there. He's getting the washout onto the beach. I said, why don't you go over there and dig? You know why? He said that ancestral spirits would get him. 2015, he believes exactly what his great-great-great-great-grandpa believed. But he probably would, if you ask him what religion, he'd say, oh, I'm a Christian. Anglican, maybe, Methodist, Catholic. See, old ways die really hard. People don't change without effort being made. People go on the path of least resistance mentally, personally, and culturally. That's just the way people are. They tend to go on the path of the path of least resistance. And it's downhill. When we went to Switzerland many, many years ago, coming to Ghana with the kids, Rebecca's just a little girl, and we were doing quite a bit of hiking. If you know me, you can understand that's just what we do. And at one point she said, I like the downs part the best. Yeah, It's always easier going down. See, the old man, the old nature that's talked about in Romans 7, he likes the downs part the best. He likes the easier way. We live in an age of entitlement, don't we? We live in an age of snowflakes that want the government to give them everything from A to Z and whine and complain when they don't get it. We live in an age when young people want what their older people developed for a lifetime of work. They don't want to, they want to put it on credit and get it right now. I think my wife and her are the last people to ever get a flat screen TV. They didn't have the other kind anymore. The old one we had blew up but you know, everyone wants the newest gizmos. I understand those things are attractive. Africans are no different. Asians are no different. They get on Facebook and they see stuff all over the world. They see people eating big giant steaks. They see people going to swimming pools. They see people in their nice big pick-em-up trucks. They see the advertisements in their own countries of Mercedes-Benzes, and they see, and they want. And they want it now. Great Babylon has called the peoples of the world to come to her for trade. What do they cry about in Revelation 18? Their trade is gone. See? But whatever it takes to get it is fine. Deceptiveness, relying on the government. I had an immigration official tell me to my face that you people in America, you have it so, you're lucky, you have it so easy. I said, why? He said, because of welfare. You don't even have to work there and they pay you. He told me that, I'd gone in. You don't think he wants to get on the nearest plane and get over here? See, hard work, virtue, character, discipline, those are godly characteristics that do pay off. Generally speaking, in the general trend of things, we see in Proverbs, they do pay off. So when we were in Ghana, I probably said this last time I was here, I repeat myself, but you know, I become Mr. No. 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 I got a guy call me. How are you doing, brother? I'm starving. My family and I are starving. He weighs about 250. He's one of the bigger guns. Alright, you're starving. So, I'm sorry to hear that. So he wants more money. Well, we don't have it, you know. And I mean, we have it, but we don't have it. You know what I mean? I mean, we could borrow from here and beg from there. But beside that, it's, you know, if someone comes to my gym and they watch me train, they're not going to get the big muscles. We've got to help people believe that they can do things. And that kind of gets to my next message a bit. But to get to the good stuff, you got to get rid of laziness, fear. And see, the issue here is his wife works for the government as a school teacher. Now, how crazily happy about that do you think I am? See, it's not a preference for me. It is a conviction, Christian education. And nothing's going to budge me one inch from that. I've actually done it over 20 years with my own kids and my grandkids now. Celebrated Anastasia's 14th birthday the other day. I have a 14-year-old granddaughter. Wow. Another reason to stay in shape. See, and I've seen the result of Christian education when done right, done with prayer, done with a spiritual view, done with the diligence, done and with the parents backing it up and the church behind it. The three strands do work! Don't throw the babies out with the bathwater. Some people give up on Christian education. They're not doing it right. You can't just put a pace in front of them. say do that and then go play on your cell phone. You got to be there mentally. You got to be there spiritually. You got to notice their attitude. The kid has a bad attitude. You got to find out why. I'm just saying Christian education works. I'm not here to teach on that. You all know that. Just a plug for it. Heard Nolan's doing a great job. See, if I gotta get back to the words. I was talking to this brother, and I said, "Well, look, I'm convinced if your wife will quit working for the public school system, the government, and both of you devote yourself." He's a preacher. I said, "If you'll devote yourself to winning souls, God will find you a way. I can't explain how, but I could refer to Jay Wilson's experience. And I tell you what, we need about 20 men to follow that experience. Working in McDonald's, having a school in their basement, looking out the window for one person. That's the way the world's going to be won. There is not another way. There's no golden bullet, magic bullet. We need people to get out there in city after city, find themselves a job, and do Bible studies in the evening, on the weekend. Get 3 people, 5 people, 6 people, a family, lose a family, gain a family, lose another family, gain a... Keep some. It's like fishing in a boat with holes in it. But you finally get some in there in the net to stay in there. Hard work. One-on-one. I'm sure Benoit told you some of this stuff. I haven't heard what he said to you, but we kind of echo each other. And see, but for that brother to get to the good stuff, his wife has to have enough faith to quit that job. And I can't give it to her. That she was selling peanut butter. And it kind of didn't do so well, but he could run a gym and make a little money. Gyms are big things there. It could work out, because you know what? Our God is a great God, and He works things out. So after that, after putting the challenge, I've done this for years, saying, "Look, she's ready to quit. I'll pray for you." He never called me back. I guess he's not starving anymore. And I could give you stories like that where I'm just the bad guy, see, but I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm confident. You do not take your son and carry him in a baby carrier when he's 10 years old. Matter of fact, about 2-3, they need to be walking. And we just went on a hike with the Thomases over in Wisconsin for Anastasia's birthday, because we met him at Chicago, and we're coming this way. And we got lost. I'm at fault. Didn't pay attention somewhere. We were lost in a county park. It wasn't like deadly serious, but it took some time to find our way back through some trails and get back. And, you know, little Victoria, you all seen Victoria. She did quite a bit of walking. She walked as much as she could. And then she'd be carried and she'd walk a little more. Well, did we carry Elijah? Not a bit. Isaiah, are you kidding me? He can outwalk me now. Anastasia? Remember, I was over in the hospital. Sherry's having her gallbladder out. Was it a year ago now? 2 years ago. And I was waiting downstairs. And Indian elevators, I think there's an old guy who winds them up, you know. They're so slow. So you just take the steps. It's 9 floors, but no problem. It's good exercise. And I remember one time just saying, "Race the Anastasia." And she was like at the top when I was halfway up. It's like, what happened to me? But see, she can run up those steps, but she used to be little like Allie, and you'd carry up the steps. A lot of our old ways of life and thinking, our culture, is comfortable to us. Had a certain man come to Ghana. He brought his record collection of 70s rock and roll, running a Christian school, and play him during the school time. Dun, 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 dun. You know Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf, Pink Floyd, Santana. I grew up listening to all that. You want me to tell you some of the lyrics? Okay, kids, cover your ears. I mean, it's worse now, but still. I can play on the guitar the lead for Black Magic Woman. My brother, missionary kid, went to watch Santana live in Ghana. Spent the night there. Sold us a whole night there. And you know what? It's called Soul to Soul. They made a movie about it. It's probably online. You can find it. Not that I want to. And the juju man came out before it to the gods, and he poured in his bare feet on the electric wires. He did a special dance. That's what my brother told me. Cruising down the highway. I know a lot of words stuck in my head. See, that's in the way of something better. I don't even want to argue. Can you listen to this and that kind of music? That is an argument that you don't want to get into. I would say, you know, my mind is precious. My time is limited. My life is one. And I have one life to live, one life to give, and I want to max out for the glory of God. I don't want to sit here and argue with you whether I can listen to Santana. I don't want to argue, you know, then those four guys, Kiss. A night in satanic service. All right, I'm sure it's all a joke, but why would I want to listen to them? Or Pearl Jam. Or whatever. You can listen to whatever you want to, brethren. Free in Christ. But for me and my household, I would like the music to pump me up because life's hard. And Satan's real. And he's in there working at the level of the mind. That's the battleground. To get our attitudes down on earth level, not sky level, not heaven level. He's trying to get our attitudes down here. There's where he has power over us. If I understand Romans 7 right, and I might not, everybody's talking about it. But I believe that the old man of sin has to be crucified daily. It's a mindset. I don't think it happens automatically, by default. When it says set your mind on things above, what happens if you don't? When the Bible says put up that shield of faith, what happens if you don't? Before you walk out the door, get off the bed, you had better be putting on that armor. Before the feet touch the ground, amen? Before you get out of the bathroom brushing your teeth. Every day is a war for your attitude. Maybe you don't feel it. I do. I get into Kumasi traffic. My attitude's going in the toilet really quick. Another guy cut in front of me. Another guy. Mikhail, remember in India in that three-wheeler? I remember you said something about, like, this can't be hard to live in this kind of mess. I remember that. It was hot and we were going. It was crazy. And people just came to visit us and gone, and they're like, do they drive by any rules here? Oh yeah, lots of rules. Do they use traffic signals? Sometimes. Larissa Bueller was freaking out a little bit about it. I was just laughing. Like, this is my world. Welcome to my world. And you know, your attitude can just be down and you can then get a little bit of road rage going, or just curse the person out in front of you in your mind, and you come back and where's the spirit in that? Rejoicing always. And again, I say rejoice. That's a piece of cake, right? So why would I want to listen to this ungodly garbage coming out of the radio? Cruising down the highway. I mean, what is that going to do for me? Or for you? Stairway to Heaven. What's that really about? Lucy in the sky with diamonds. What are the diamonds? And the whole Beatles, I mean, they were high on drugs every day. Doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure these things out. The old life, whether it's Ghanaians with their juju, the big battle there is funerals. Recently, one of our strong brothers, Gordon, stepdad, died. And he had tried to help him in Kumasi in a bigger hospital, and he died anyway. It was too late. It was cancer. So he needed to take the body back to the village, remote village. They have to cross a river with the ferry to get there. There's no Wi-Fi there at all. There's nothing out there, no cell phone coverage. It's really in the bush. Anyway, he had to take the body back. So they put the body in an ambulance, and he was beside the driver. When they got to the river, the villagers came out. 2017, they came out, and they said, you have to pour a libation to the gods, to the ancestors, the Pininfo. You have to pour it before this body will cross this sacred river here. He refused to do it. Later they had a wakekeeping and he refused again. The whole village was angry. He's supposed to buy more schnapps or liquor to pour another drink offering to the gods so that his dead stepfather and his mother would now be considered truly separated by the spirit world. And every river in Ghana that you cross with a dead body, if it's a sacred river, you have to pour a libation to the gods. So I call this by participation in this abomination, by association, that's what I called it. If he had sat there in the car and they poured the libation, he's just quiet, he'd been guilty of participating in a sacrifice of the gods. And what about the early Christians? Could they go and just give that little pinch of incense to Caesar? Have their name written down? Jeff Hossiter has given his yearly incense to Caesar. No, they refused to do it because they called him Augustus, which means Lord. And they were making him divine. It'd been okay as a civic leader. The judge that I kept seeing in court, you'd say, my Lord. But we all understood, not in a divine sense, like boss. And it matters. It matters. The reason behind. So those early Christians, first century, had their property taken. Read Hebrews chapter 10. And later some of them started to be persecuted, killed, depending on whether it's Nero, Caligula, whoever, Domitian. Some of the Caesars didn't care about Christians. They let them go. Some of them persecuted them very strongly. And in that century, if you were a Christian, and you went into the Caesar temple, to the authorities, and you paid your yearly incense, payment, and had your name written down, they called those people lapses in Latin. Lapses. Those who lapsed. Fallen away. And there's a huge debate within the early church whether they should be allowed ever back in, because they weren't trusted. We've heard it before, but in the first century, if you became a Christian, you could be signing your death warrant. Matter of time, maybe. Or at least exile. See, when Nehemiah, we're going to get to that in the next part of it, but when Nehemiah wanted to go rebuild the walls, what did they have to do first? Move out the rubble. Hard, hard, hard work. And they had a lot of opposition. They had false, slanderous letters sent to the government back in Persia. They had the works halted. They had to carry weapons. Right to bear arms, they believed in that for sure. They had a system of warnings, of trumpets to be called so that they could help each other in any part of the wall around the whole city. So if they're attacked here, they could go over there. Nehemiah was personally threatened several times. He said, should men like me flee? We can't study Nehemiah this morning in a few minutes. Most of you know it. See, we just had a church disciplinary action done. It took 6 years. The guy that we finally did it to, I guess you'd say it that way, 6 years. Nothing quick. I love people. But he's caused division. And the Bible says, mark such men as these. And we're told that in Romans 16, verse 18 to 20. We're told in Titus 3:10, warn him once, warn him twice, and have nothing to do with him. We have swindlers in the church. A swindler is someone who uses false pretenses or some kind of scam or lie to get an advantage. And that includes a lot of different things. And so all the brethren had talked to this guy. They, you know, personally, I had talked to him personally 8 hours one time. Anybody ever had an 8-hour conversation with anybody? That was my last ditch effort. I finally walked out. Wasn't getting anywhere. Then later he told people, I don't know why Mr. H walked out. Because after 8 hours you weren't listening, dude. So a couple weeks ago, we as a church, sadly, but confidently, announced that he's been disfellowshipped. And each man spoke. And we lost about 5 people. You see, a lot of the situation is because Sharon and I won't be used in the ministry. We believe that people like this church has given us funds through the years. We really appreciate it. We're stewards. And that money should go to people who are faithful, loyal, people who will be team players, people who will work in the light, walk in the light as he's in the light, people who won't use other people for their own ends like Absalom. After multiple sermons and all kinds, we caught a spade a spade. And this same individual is part of another group that has completely separated themselves from the work. It's very painful work. But see, clearing out rubble, whether it's our personal life, something... Look, idols today can be family, right? You can't love family more than Christ. Jesus is clear about that. Look at Luke chapter 14. You got to be, put Jesus first. How about friends? My conviction is a lot of times we will not make a boundary, a clear boundary between right and wrong, to not to be mean, not to judge someone unrighteously, but so that, look, if someone's drowning, he'll take you down with him if you're not careful, and many others. And so when it says mark of divisive man, this is how I see it. Let's say there's a shoal here, under the surface of the water, and now I know about it. What would I do? Put up a danger beacon, a warning beacon, a buoy, and put it there, send out a signal so no other ship will hit it, right? So when Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, it talks about Alexander the coppersmith. Why does he publicly write this name down for it to be read in the church at Ephesus? And do you think Paul didn't know that letters going to all the other churches to be read for the next 2,000 years? Alexander the coppersmith, he said, you watch him because he did me much harm. Now, you think I'm going to let some predator get to my grandkids? There's other kinds beside the physical kinds. You think I'm going to let somebody get to my new converts in Christ that we've worked 5 years to win to Christ? They finally got their attitude together. They finally got baptized. We're going to let some guy like Absalom be unmarked, whisper in their ear all this stuff, and divide him from the body? No. It's hard work, brethren. Rubble clearing, idol smashing, iconoclast work is not fun. But it has to be done to build the good stuff on top of it. And I just gave you a brief summary. I think we quit at 10, right? So any question or comments? I have 5 minutes about this topic of, you know, Hulk smashing rubble and clearing things out and all that. Any question from what I said that anybody like to ask? I could say more, but I want to give time for that. Anybody? Yes.
As you say, you know, people say, can I do this? That's the wrong question. Do I want to do this? And if I want to listen to music, like you say, we have freedom in Christ, but why would I want to put that in my head? I think that's the real question.
I have a question for you guys on that, because I agree completely. So what would happen if you knew someone in the church, maybe an older person, kept inviting Braden over to listen to music that was really bad? What would be done about that in practice? See, sometimes we kind of say it's everybody's individual decision to want to do right or wrong. But what happens when, you know, people come in the church and they're luring out disciples away from themselves through bad influence? And I take it, oh, it's extreme to make it clear, but if I saw some guy in the church building beating one of my grandkids, he would be hurting. And if he invited him over to the house and told dirty jokes and put on a R-17 movie, that would be the last time that guy ever had any influence with my grandkids. And if he walked in the church building, he would have to be dealt with. That's what we're not doing, because we're afraid of the law of defamation of character. We're afraid of the kickback. We're afraid. That's my opinion. It's hard work, because they will kick back. They will slander you. They will get on Facebook and say this and that. And you got to be tough. But we have to protect the innocent. I mean, make it clear. Just make it clear. You can't play the monkey, we say in Africa, in the church. You're going to be doing stuff that destroys the body, destroys. You got to do something. Another question, comment? We've got a couple more minutes.
I'm just kind of curious, when they make offerings to their gods, why do they put so much value on alcohol?
Spirits. Well, okay, quick answer is alcohol changes like marijuana and other drugs. It changes you in some way. Under the influence of alcohol is, you know, in legal terms, 0.04, and you're going to be arrested. Why? Because it's recognized. It does something. And same with the joint. You can argue about marijuana, legal marijuana, but it just changed something. And on the other side of the... So it's interesting to me because it puts people in a certain state of mind, alcohol. And I think it makes them more susceptible to the influence of demons, if you want a long... I'll give you a longer answer. But demon forces are real. I have some stuff I could share that would scare the kids out of the room. They're real. And if you don't believe in demons, you can't believe in the Holy Spirit. The greatest he that's in you than it that's in the world. He's roaming. So I think alcohol opens doors. And I think that's why Satan puts them together, in my opinion, because they have to pour, they have drink and draw and drink and pour. And these are the fetish priests. Those priests are half drunk most of the time they're serving. Isn't it interesting, just as a point, that Nadab and Abihu died because they were drinking? Check it out. And they were told no priest should ever serve at the tabernacle drinking any hard liquor or wine. It's interesting. So you can kind of ponder on that a bit. Just ponder on that a bit.